You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible.
Either. It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer. My dearest co-host, Dory Shafrir, is out on maternity leave. So with us today is our guest host, Maureen Gu.
Hello.
Maureen.
Hey, and I'm so excited that Dory had her baby.
Me
oh my God.
Too. I cry thinking about it like once a day.
Oh my gosh. I looked at her Instagram and cried like every time I looked at it.
You did email me and you're like, Dory had her baby. I cried.
I know.
Like, yep, me too.
Emotional.
It's interesting when other people's babies make you weepy. I like for some reason it's everybody's weddings, babies.
I think Dory's a special case, right? Because people have followed her journey.
Yes.
And so and I just felt a lot of emotions. One. Yes, it's been a long one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's beautiful. Oh. She's an amazing mom. I'm going to cry forever. I do want to add one very important thing that you and I are not experts.
No.
But we are.
I am so not an expert.
We are friends and we do like to talk about serums.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen on this episode. You have a beautiful pile of things.
I brought a pile.
You brought a pile of skincare goodies, a tool that I'm very excited to ask you about. But first, I want to intro you to our audience who may already know you either as an author or a past Forever 35 guest, because you were on this podcast about a year ago.
I think almost exactly this time.
Yeah, I think so too. Here is your info. Maureen is the author of four, to be exact, acclaimed books for young adults, including I Believe in a Thing Called Love and The Way You Make Me Feel, and most recently, Somewhere Only We Know. And she lives here in Los Angeles with her husband and her cat, Maybe, who's very beautiful.
Maybe. She's got a cute face, which makes up for her personality sometimes.
Well, that's how cats kind of are. Maybe is on your Instagram a lot. So if anyone is a fan of cats, I feel like that's the spot to go.
Yeah, she's a star of my Instagram stories. I try not to post actual photos of her too much because she has her own Instagram account.
Oh, she does?
Yes, @maybeGoopelHans.
Wait a second.
It's like a melding of my husband's last name and mine.
Goopelhans?
Yeah, he's Applehans and I'm Goo. So people, namely his family, refer to us as the Goopelhans. So, I mean, my husband wanted to legally change our name to Goopelhans. No. And I was like, no, stupid. Like, because I think he thinks it's funny, but I'm like, you did not grow up with a last name people made fun of. It's not fun.
Wait, no one made fun of Applehans?
Well, he claims that he also suffered, but I'm like, you did not suffer the way that I suffered.
That is fascinating, because in my brain, when you were saying this, I was like, why didn't he just change his last name to Goo?
Honestly, he was kind of open to it. Like, I'm not trying to frame him as some like very woke feminist husband, but he just doesn't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I don't want those questions asked.
That's fair. Goopelhans is adorable.
Let's just keep our last names.
What was your? I just am curious about your experience in childhood being teased about your last name. What would, because it's Goo?
Yeah.
Goop?
You know, I forget. You know, it's just my last name.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. Every time I kind of enter a new sphere. So let's say when I went to college, my last name suddenly became a thing again. In every class, it'd be like, Maureen, God, Go. And I'm like, oh my God, what the? It's like phonetically spelled out. It's like the easiest
three
last
letters.
Name. And then grad school, same thing. And I went to grad school in Boston and I was like the only Asian person in any of my classes. And it was another thing, like just that like self-conscious pause, like Maureen, Goo. And then I had a horrible experience actually in grad school. I was taking like a journalism related class and I had to do research. And I emailed this man that worked for some national park in New Hampshire or something. And he accidentally responded to me when he meant to forward my email to someone, you know, in his office and was like, can somebody help this woman with the unfortunate name?
I'm
like, but you know what the best feeling was? I emailed him back and was like, I believe that you did not mean to send this to me.
Oh.
And he just scrambled like an email back so quickly, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Holy.
So, you know, crap. I forget that I might have a silly last name to some people still. And now I'm an author. And, you know, I kind of feel a little bit of hesitation. People are a little nervous to pronounce my name. But for the most part, you know, I am a lady now, so I can deal with my last name and not care about it.
Well, I also think correcting people is very powerful, and it can feel, I imagine it can feel kind of scary to, I don't know, maybe that's just me projecting my lack of confidence, but to speak up and be like, hey, mother effer, you're wrong. Like, one, you're being totally disrespectful, but two, like, this is how you say it. If you're confused, just ask and then get it right.
Right. And someone recently mentioned, don't ask or don't make a joke. If you are pronouncing someone's name and you're like, oh, I might butcher this, but Maureen Goo, because just say it. And if you get it wrong, say, oops, sorry, it's pronounced this way. Because it kind of sets it up as like this, you know, othering, or this last name I'm about to say is a really wacky last name. And so I've been mindful of that too, because I'm sure I've done it in the past, because I think I'm being more polite by like setting it up as like, oh shoot, I might mess it up. But
right,
instead, that's kind of annoying. But yes, it is empowering now. I really don't care. I'm like, no, Maureen Goo. It's like not hard.
I appreciate you saying that, because doing a podcast, because we have to say everyone's name, and I'm so afraid of making a mistake.
Right.
That learning how to be upfront about the fact that you might not know how to say something and doing it in a way that's not disrespectful.
Right.
Is really, really valuable, important.
It is. And I think with a lot of, you know, maybe people of color in America, we have a very sensitive, it's a sensitive topic for us with our names, you know, just growing up feeling different.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of stays with you as an adult.
I'm sure. And every time someone called your name, you were made. Any time there's that setup of like, ugh, I don't know.
Yeah, I would just dread it, you know, like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Applehans. Applehans?
Applehans. Yeah.
Applehans.
Actually, it's E-L. A-P-P-E-L.
Wow.
Anyways, yeah, Chris will love that I'm talking about his last name.
It's a good one, I have to say. Applehans, I've never heard it before.
I mean, both of our last names are a little, like, you know, not, it's not common within our cultures. So It's not a good hyphenated last name. It's not a good, you know. So I was just like, let's just not attempt to do anything.
But merging them like Brangelina into Goopelhans is pretty great.
Goopelhans is funny. So maybe it's allowed to be a Goopelhans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, oh my God, I can't believe we talked about this starting from the discussion of maybe from my bio.
It's always starts with a cat.
Yeah.
And ends with a Goopelhans. Well, Maureen, you just, when the time this episode airs, your book will have just come out.
Yes.
And I've read it. I'm obsessed with it.
Aww.
It's called Somewhere Only We Know. I'm gently caressing it right here on the table. And it's a really delightful romantic comedy with a ton of heart that is centered around a teen K-pop star.
Yeah, her name is Lucky.
Her name is Lucky. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything in the book because everyone needs to read it, but her name is Lucky and she has this amazing, like almost a longer than, what is it, 24 hours would you say, or is it a little bit longer?
It's a little longer. Yeah. I call it like a one day romance, but it's a, you know, smidge longer than a day
with a dreamy hunky guy named Jack. And so we'll leave it there in terms of the plot, but mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of dig into K-pop as self-care because I have been actually in the throes of a 3-day long anxiety attack that's been,
oh no,
it's been a thing.
I feel you.
You've been, I know mm-hmm. that anxiety is also a thing that we share. Mm-hmm. And actually it's a thing you talk about in the book in a way that really resonated with me. So I wanted to kind of just dig in. Let's start with kind of talking about K-pop because I've been listening to BTS as a way to make me get out of this anxiety attack.
Me too. Oh my God.
And I just love the way you celebrate it in this book. So I'm wondering what has been your relationship to K-pop? Is it a self-care thing for you? Is it a just a fun thing for you? And you know, how did it then lead you to make it this beautiful through line throughout this book?
I actually love that you are framing this as K-pop as self-care because I didn't see it that way. But it actually reminds me a lot of things that I tend to get into like an obsessive spiral with, which I used to think was kind of a negative thing. I used to think I am using this thing, whether it's, you know, last year was Supernatural, the TV show, like, and I started reading fanfic. I got like really into it. And I was like, why am I retreating from reality and getting sucked into this? And I thought it was bad. Like, I need to like go outside. I need to like see my real friends. But I had a talk with like a couple of my writer friends and we were talking about how like fandoms and getting obsessed with stuff is actually something that something in our bodies are craving this, right? And we're latching onto it for a reason mm-hmm. during this time. So K-pop, doing research for this book, I got deep into K-pop, you know?
And what made you want to make the main character a K-pop star?
It's really, it was actually not much thinking involved. It came to me immediately because I wanted to write a modern YA Roman holiday. So someone had put out on Twitter, just like a, you know, random tweet, like, I'd love to see a YA Roman holiday. And I had been trying to brainstorm what my next romantic YA novel would be. And it was like this moment of like, holy crap. It just, the book came to me fully formed the second I read that. And I was like, instead of a princess, it's a K-pop star. Cause that's like a modern day princess.
Yep.
They're like modern day royalty, you know, celebrities in general. And then, you know, once I thought of K-pop, it just went, it spun from there. And I felt, you know, I wasn't a huge K-pop fan when I thought of the idea, but I grew up with K-pop music. I felt like, oh, I'm equipped to write this. And I'm just going to have to do some research, right? And I knew a lot of K-pop loving people followed me on Twitter and are my readers. And so I kind of put this call out, like, I'm looking for like female K-pop artists and girl groups. Give me your favorite ones. And it was just like this, whoa, like this education I got. And then I was in China at the time when I was writing this book. And so I had all this time to go deep into like YouTube rabbit holes, which I'm sure you did with the BTS stuff.
Oh boy.
And I've recently been doing with BTS. So I stayed away from the boy groups while I was doing research because I was like, I don't care about them. I'm like, I'm really interested in like the girl group dynamics and like what kind of performances and that the women do and how they're treated by the media. Like what's their image? What do they have to maintain as far as like their reputations? And But then BTS was like this constant, like, because they were getting so big, I could just feel their rising star. And I watched their videos and their performances, and I was like, what? Like, it's so special to me, the way they perform.
They're such amazing dancers. Oh,
the it's dancing crazy. Is nuts. And they're just so, I don't know, there's something so precise, but also joyful in their performances. Yeah. So I got really deep in it. So yes, I have been, like you, so anxious lately. And I think because it's my book coming out, you know, I had like a total like anxiety spiral last night, woke up with the pounding, you know, my heart pounding.
That's what's, I've been had that for 3 days, that heart pounding.
It's the worst. It is. And you feel this low level, like kind of like shaking.
Totally. Like you've just had too much caffeine.
Yes, exactly. And so the BTS, I think, is my coping too. I will just go into, and I have been in the past when I do that, I feel really bad about myself. Mm. Like, oh my God, I just wasted 2 hours. I should have been doing X, Y, and Z. And now I'm trying to say, no, clearly like that's doing something for me and I needed this.
Yeah.
You know, like would I be hard on myself if I went to go work out or if I did meditation?
Right. Like all the things that we label as like good. Like,
right.
Yeah. Like this actually is a good way of self-care. Yeah. No, right. Yes. Yeah.
And you guys have talked about like self-care is, there's like two kinds. There's like this self-care that's like not necessarily like giving you nutrition or like actively being healthy for your body, but like it is still self-care. Like for me, like buying like a lot of beauty products or whatever, right? It's technically bad for my wallet and not really like giving me like vitamins, but it is self-care. So I put that in that category. Like 2 hours on YouTube is...
It counts.
It counts. Yeah.
The other night I was like, all I want to do, I've had such a, I kind of had a hard day and all I could think of is like, I just want to get into bed and watch that 30 minute intro to BTS video I found on YouTube. So I just...
I feel like you and I watched the same intro.
It was so soothing. And I just have like... Their music is so good. They're so captivating to watch. And it's also something I can share with my daughters.
Yeah.
And which is really fun. Like we are now all just like kind of giddy dancing around to BTS in our house. So it's been really just satisfying. I want to pick up on something that you mentioned though about anxiety, because in the book, and I think this is something people don't always realize about YA if they don't read it, is that you can grapple with really big topics with these characters who are young adults. And two things that really stood out to me was one, like Lucky, the main character, dealing with anxiety. She's taking sleeping meds. She's taking Ativan, which is an anxiety med I'm very familiar with. And then also there's a great kind of conversation that comes up a couple times with Jack and Lucky, because they're both Korean American.
Yeah.
And they're in Hong Kong and dealing with the feeling of never being enough, like at home, never being quite fitting in. And then also in either Korean culture and Hong Kong, not quite fitting in. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And also the expectations of their parents was fascinating.
Yeah.
Lot of 50 million things that stick.
Thank you for noticing my thematic elements. Yeah. You know, so I was thinking about, okay, but what I love about rom-coms, right? I love all the banter. And I actually did a lot of research on like one day love stories, because I'm like, how am I going to have this like meaningful relationship between these characters happen in one day, especially like, you know, teenagers and all the stuff they're going through. And I realized like in my favorite like book versions of the one day love story, there's a lot of kind of deep discussions and kind of philosophical banter. And I feel like I don't really write like that kind of, you know, like kind of before sunset banter. I'm like, that's just like, no, my characters can't take themselves that seriously. And also I just, my own, that's like not my skill set. So I thought, okay, what would be specific to these two characters and their lives? And it's also a way of like telling backstory and, you know, exposition, but without it being boring and kind of like all setting it up at the same time. So I want it to, their lives to be revealed through their conversations. And so, yes, the anxiety thing, you know, I actually introduced anxiety as a topic in my last book, The Way You Make Me Feel, with the character Rose. And she is not the main character. She was her friend, but she I didn't want the anxiety to be too much of her story, because to me, I feel like it's important to acknowledge that some people have anxiety just like they have, you know, high blood pressure, yeah. you know, and not to downplay how hard it is to have it, especially as a teenager, because I had it as a teen. It was really bad, actually, when I was a teen, and I had no idea what it was. And I just thought, like, I'm like a worrywart, and I get Same. Stressed and yeah. I worry too much. So I wanted to have a teen that has it and also kind of is pushing it aside. But then eventually she goes into therapy, and I think she talks to her parents about it, is what I put in the book. I'm like, I don't remember my own book, but yeah. So that was kind of my introduction. Like, let's have a side character have anxiety, like just to have it in my books, because it's a part of my reality. And I also think it's a good way to bring up mental health as like this, to normalize it, like that. Yeah. Teenagers have it too. We all have it. Or not all, but a lot of us have it. And then for this book, you know, Lucky, I really wanted to, it was also a plot device, to be perfectly honest, because she has to be kind of out of it and escape her hotel room. If you guys watch Roman Holiday, like you remember that, Audrey Hepburn, she gets, that's like dark too. That movie is dark. She gets drugged every night.
I've never seen it. I was going to watch it this weekend. I know. I've never seen it.
It will bring you joy.
Okay.
During this time.
During this anxious ride that I'm on.
Yeah. Because if you like Summer Only We Know, like that Roman Holiday, but Roman Holiday is very simple. It's just like, I mean, the princess, you can tell she's grappling with stuff too. She's torn between duty and like she has no freedom either. But the reporter character is just like very, I mean, he's so charming, Gregory Peck, but it's not as like, they're not, he's not really grappling with anything.
Yeah.
So in this book, I wanted both of them to have a point of view on issues they're dealing with. And so her anxiety is, she has to take meds, which, you know, in Korea, I don't want to speak as an authority on Korea because I'm Korean American, but I do know that mental health is still not, it's still stigmatized over there. You know, I think it's getting better, which I'm glad for, but it's nowhere near as progressive in how people talk about it as in the US. And especially if you're a public figure, for people to know that you have to take medication for it, it's still very like taboo.
Yeah.
It could ruin your career. But you know, when I was writing that, actually, there was a K-pop, a boy band group, and I feel bad, I don't remember his name, but he actually took his own life.
I remember
that. You know, he was really depressed, and I don't know if it had to do with being in a K-pop group or it's just his own thing, but I heard about that and I was like, oh my gosh, do I really want to bring this up in my K-pop rom-com? Like, it's a serious topic. So there was like a balance that I had to achieve with the book of like talking about the K-pop industry, being critical of it, but I ultimately wanted the book to be about what K-pop brings to people. Why is there this huge fandom? Why would anyone want to be a K-pop star? And to me, that's like the heart, like that's how I want to acknowledge K-pop in this book. I wanted to really respect the fandom of K-pop and like all the fans and like what it brings. And in order to do that, like I had to go deep into it and I had to watch all the videos. And so I became a huge fan of like this one specific K-pop star, Sunmi. And she is kind of my prototype for Lucky. She's a little older and a little more sexy, I think, but she was a huge inspiration.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible.
Either. It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
So Maureen, I, in my message to you, was like, can we talk products? And you stepped up to the challenge.
I mean, this is Forever 35.
I love a product conversation. Mm-hmm. You've brought a bunch of fun things. I'm very curious about the silver tool.
Oh, okay. This right here?
Yeah. So we'll, if it's okay with you, I would love to go through just all your goodies. These are these current faves? Or this is like your regular routine?
Current faves, and some are regular, which overlap with my regular routine. And then, oh gosh, I was trying to not overlap with the stuff I brought last time, but I might have brought this last time. And also I was trying to have a Korean focus too, like my favorite K-beauty products.
The Kremer Lab is a K-beauty product.
Yes.
Okay.
And I might have brought that last time.
I have a couple of my, two of my like favorites, like hardcore favorite K-beauties.
Ooh, okay.
That I've almost used all the way up. But we'll start with whatever. Oh yes, there's a Neogen. Okay. Oh gosh, I'm getting so excited. Okay. Take us on this journey.
Okay. Well, if we're talking about K-beauty products.
Let's start with K-beauty.
Yeah. I'm not like a super expert on it, but there are a few things that I really love.
Keep in mind, we're not experts.
I know, we're not experts.
No, so it's okay. This is a safe space.
We're just friends.
Just fans, friends and fans.
And I do the Korean 10 step, and I talk about Lucky doing it too in the book. And I don't know, we call it the 10 step, right? But I think you can have however many steps. It's just like the idea of having this like routine. And I think there are a couple things that you like have to do in the 10 step that is like their, I don't know, gold standard or something. But I do double cleanse at night. I do an oil base and then like a foamy or whatever they call it.
Maureen, I'm subjecting you to my raising of the hand, yes, which is what I do to Dory all the time. Do you do an oil cleanse if you have no makeup on?
I don't.
You don't.
Because actually, I saw Courtney Chisano.
Oh, shout out. The best.
She's the best. I went last year for my birthday present to myself. And I had asked her, I put all the products out because I'm like, tell me, like, am I doing bad things?
She's really great at like reviewing your products, yes, and giving you some feedback.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of balance it out because she's like super natural. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a little more natural, but I also understand sometimes my face needs chemicals.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And so she had recommended like only use the oil cleanser like when you actually have makeup. And then she gave me this other cleanser to use. It's the kombucha one.
Oh, I love that
you
guy.
Use, I mm-hmm. think. Or Dory. Yeah.
I do use it.
But when I travel, I don't want a double cleanse. It's just like, you know, too much of a pain to bring both things. And so I went on SoCo Glam, which I love. And SoCo Glam is like where I learned about like K-beauty and like how to do it and like what I should use. And so they have their own, I think this is their own brand, Neogen.
I don't know. I have Neogen face wipes, like not face wipes, like exfoliant pads.
Yeah. I think Charlotte Cho, the founder, she started this brand of stuff.
So cool.
I know, she's the best. And so I bought this. It's called the Real Fresh Cleansing Stick, and it's green tea. And it's just like a stick, so it's a solid, so you could take it with you when you travel. It's not that big. And it's supposed to do the double duty of the double cleansing. And oh my God, like I actually might, when I run out of my actual double cleansing products, just use this because I love it so much. The stick factor is like fun for some reason, it like rubbing fun. It on your face. You're like,
Yeah, do you wet your face first? And yes. Then you just, yes, I have another stick first. Cleanser that I had never seen before. It's just soap in a tube,
yeah,
essentially,
it is.
Right?
Like, ooh.
No, but it feels amazing. It feels like a toy.
Yeah, it feels like, and it's just like the another like kind of ritual thing that feels good, but it also just feels so good. Like when you actually use it and you wash your face feels nice, and it does take off my makeup, and I love how it smells and has little bits of actual green tea in it.
I'm eyeing this in a way that makes me think in approximately 2 hours I'm going to be buying it on the internet.
I mean, it's like $14. So
Real Fresh Cleansing Stick, green tea, 100% naturally crushed, soothing bio cleanser by Neogen.
Yeah, that to me is like my number one product I recommend to people.
This is the sound of me opening it. Ooh, hello. Ooh, it smells delicious.
It smells so good.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, this is going to happen. Okay.
So yeah, that's my number one thing. And then the other thing that I really use religiously is my Kramer Lab essence. So, you know, I'm sure most Forever 35 people know what essence is.
You say this, and I am essentially half of Forever 35, and I still don't totally.
Oh my God. That's how I feel about all beauty products though.
Same.
I kind of know like I'm supposed to use it because of X reason, but
I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Sometimes people are like, what does it actually do? Like chemically, scientifically.
And there are people who are very good at articulating what that yes. is. Like, I feel like Gothamista is a great YouTuber who like really breaks down what stuff does.
Right.
Whereas I'm like, I don't know. I splash it on. It's hydrating, I think.
Yes. It's supposed to be. Okay. So it looks like water. So when my mom bought this for me a long time ago. And was like, oh, here's some essence. And I was like, oh my God. I just like rolled my eyes. I'm like, this is like fancy water I'm splashing on my face.
Fancy water.
But apparently it's kind of, so when you wash your face, you like kind of dry it out. And so I think they described it on a website as like your face is a sponge. And if you have a dry sponge, it doesn't absorb stuff as quickly. So you wet the sponge a little bit first. So the essence is like wetting the sponge, but it also has like oils and other things kind of help moisturize. So it's like the primer to then suck in all the other stuff better.
You explained that very well.
Oh my God.
I feel like that was slightly expert.
Layman's. Yeah, but it is, I love it. What I've been doing lately is, and what's making a huge difference in my opinion, is taking time with my 10 steps. So I used to just like do it really quickly and like layer all my products on because I'm just kind of in a rush. But now I have a new routine of, and it's part of my anti-anxiety toolkit, is I try to savor my nighttime routine rather than having it be a thing I have to do. So it's something I look forward to. Mm. And I put on your podcast. Aww. Like literally, it's always your podcast because I'm like, I don't want to listen to like Muse or like snarky pop culture. I just want like
the dulcet tones, yes, of this voice.
It's true though. And then so I take time, and I've been also doubling up on my essence because I realized I was really stingy with my products. I've always been stingy.
I get that though, because you're trying to make them last as long as possible. Yeah.
And it's, you're like a money thing. I don't need to waste all this, but I realized, oh, with the essence, like if you kind of like douse it on your face, it feels, I'm like, oh, I see what it's doing now. Like you can actually feel what it's doing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I use a ton of essence now.
And do you do two layers of the essence? Because that's something I've read, that you can double. Some people double up on essence.
No. Like
they'll do it and then they'll wait and then they'll do it again.
My God. No, I've only done it once.
But you're using a lot, like a hefty amount.
Yeah. You know, I just like kind of pour it into my hand and then like almost like splash my face with it like water. Because before I used to just like put like two dabs and like, and like spread the little two drops over my whole face.
I know that feeling so much.
Like, why am I so frugal with my products? Like, I mean, obviously money is one thing, but I hardly ever go through my beauty products, or in the past I never did. And now I actually do. And I feel like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. And so, yeah, I take a lot of time. Then I wait and I let it sit and soak in my skin. And then I'm like, all right, then I do like my serums and what have you. And then so I've just been taking a lot more time, and I feel like my skin feels and looks really different from doing that. And I feel like that is what you're supposed to do with the 10 step. You're not supposed to rush it. It's supposed to be this like, you know, kind of like this, what's the word? Like a routine or a practice.
That a ritual.
A ritual,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and it is slightly meditative to wash any part of your body, your hair, your face. I think it's less about like, look at these products I'm using, and more about like, I'm taking time to just kind of like feel the water, feel like touch, yeah, like it's a sensory experience, it which is, can be very, yeah, grounding.
Yeah, kind of like a bath or, yeah, you know. So yeah, that's the other thing. So my essence is the Kramer Lab is, I just like Kramer Lab. I like their stuff. I feel like it's super high quality.
Can I ask a question? You said your mom gave it to you. Is, yeah, this a product she uses? And do you ever like discuss your skincare routines with each
my
other?
My mom is the reason why I was so low maintenance with my skincare routine, because she's really low maintenance. So no, she doesn't use essence, but as she's getting older, she's using, you know, I think she uses La Mer now, you know, because she's like, I'm supposed to use this now.
That's what my mom, like she turned right? like 50 something and all of a sudden had La Mer. Yeah, and my mom did not spend money on skincare.
Same. Yeah. My mom was the Clinique three, yes, three step, right? That was, but you know, she did have I watched her every night do it. Like she definitely stood there and like spent time doing that three step. And I realized, oh, okay, I think this is like it's like a part of like a Korean lady's routine. Mm. And then, yeah, so she bought me this because she's like, oh, young people like this stuff. You know, she's like, I don't okay. know.
Thanks, mom.
Because I told her when she went to Korea, like buy me K-beauty stuff. I don't really care. I want to try it. And so she's like, okay, I heard this was good.
Wow, she delivered.
She did. And Kramer Lab is actually hard to find in Korea. I was just there and I was like, what the heck? I can't find their stuff anywhere. There's a specific drugstore in a subway station that my mom was like, oh, this is where you have to buy your Kramer Lab face mask. So that's the other thing I wanted to talk about.
Ooh.
Their sheet masks are my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I just like stock up on them. They're
And do you have to get them in when you're in Korea?
I think you could buy them online. I just never buy my face masks, my sheet masks online, because my mom goes to Korea often enough. Like, she gets me a bunch. And I recently went and bought, like, I bought the entire, like, Kramer Lab. Like, I bought all of it. Because I'm like, I don't know when the next time will be. I'm,
yeah.
You know? And I bought them as, like, for the giveaways for the book launch.
And what about this mask makes it your favorite?
Well, this is, okay, so I use all of their masks. The specific one I brought is the Witch Hazel Pore Control Mask.
Ooh.
I just, you know, I'm very picky about the actual mask, too. Because sometimes I'm like, ew, like, I don't like the how they cut the mask.
I, Maureen, right? Yes. Like the shape the of the shape? Mask on your face, like, and the texture. What?
And sometimes they come in two pieces and I'm like, that is too complicated.
I don't like the two piece. Yeah. It's too much.
It's too much.
You're like putting a little, like a, almost like a mask for a beard. And then you have to put the eye half yes. on your, and the nose.
And then like ugh. One part might like come off. Like, honestly, like there is no perfect face mask shape for me. Like even this one, the mouth is too small. So I always have to like rip it open a little more.
The things we do to masks.
I know. So I just like their masks. I don't know what it is. I like how they feel. I like the shape. And every single one that I've used has been super moisturizing and soothing. So, and they don't smell too perfumey, which is another thing. I'm like kind of sensitive to scents. So yeah, that's the other Kramer Lab thing. And I also use the Kramer Lab Shadow Off eye cream.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shadow Off?
I think it's called Shadow Off, yeah. And that's the one that like, I think K-Beauty people really like too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just think that they make really good stuff. It's not that... And it's pretty, it's kind of spendy for K-beauty stuff, but not too crazy. Okay, what else? Okay, so this is what I'm excited to try. I haven't used it yet because I just ran out of toner. And I've been hearing great things about the Be The Skin stuff.
I've never heard of Be The Skin.
Oh my gosh. So they have like a serum that's supposed to be really great. And I want to try that next, but... For now, I'm trying their, it's called the Botanical Nutrition Power Toner, and it's supposed to be an ultra hydrating toner, which I didn't know toners were hydrating, because you think of it as kind of like astringent.
And would you do this before your essence?
Yeah, I do toner first.
Okay.
Do you do toner first?
I do, although right now I'm using, oh, this is so cool.
I just love like how heavy it feels too.
It's in this beautiful like orange, what's
looks
the
like
word?
A creamsicle.
It does look like, and like the color's kind of gradient. Is that the word I'm looking for? Believes
yeah,
the real beauty comes from a skin with natural balance. Ooh, 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 with fresh herbs. And yeah. This is a Korean product.
Yes, I got that in, no, I didn't get that in Korea. I tried to find it in Korea and every beauty store I went to, they're like, what? So I got it on SoCo Glam, I think.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. You have to report back on that one.
Gosh.
I'm very excited for you to try that.
I'm excited. So that's like my K-beauty stuff that I'm like excited about and into. Oh, wait. No, there's one more thing. These acne patches.
Ooh, who makes these?
So this one's Averil. And I think Averil's Korean. Maybe not. Wait, there are no Korean words on here. Okay. Maybe they're not Korean. There's a Korean feeling to them. I look at the packaging. I'm like, it feels Korean. Oh, yes. Made in Korea. I discovered the pimple patches while I was in China because I had a really bad zit. And then their drugstore was selling them. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I was like, holy crap.
Do you think, can I ask you a pimple patch question?
Yeah.
I wore one recently for like 3 days. My children were terrified. They kept being like, what is it on your face? Do you think that it's actually medicated and doing stuff, or do you think it just puts something on the pimple so you don't pick at it?
I think it's both.
Okay, because this was an internal debate I was having the whole time.
I actually think it's doing some actual magic because I used it on cystic acne.
Whoa.
And nothing shrinks cystic acne down, right? Like for me anyways.
Yeah.
You just have to wait it out. You're like, ugh. Or you have to go, I've gone to the dermatologist and they've given me a shot in there.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that on Instagram. I've watched those,
oh, you've
those
watched
videos.
It?
Oh, yeah.
God.
Follow a lot of derms.
I got it because... I was getting really bad like hormonal cystic acne on my jawline, and even that takes like 3 days or something for it to really feel like it's deflating. But holy crap, this deflated my cystic zit like overnight.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know what the heck, you know. Again, I don't know what it's doing.
Who knows what it is? But
and maybe the lack of oxygen? Who knows? But let me, the ingredients. Styrene, isoprene copolymer, cellulose gum, polyurethane. It's like, I'm like killing myself. Tea tree oil.
Okay, tea tree. I only know that one.
Yeah, so man, I am like such a convert and I feel like very invincible when I have these. They're great.
Wow, it's like a protective layer almost, literally.
But I don't wear it out in public, do you?
I did, which is maybe that's why my kids were so traumatized. Because I just had this zit and I was like, you know what? For the next 3 days, or however long it takes, I'll just put this pimple patch on.
Did it work?
It did shrink it a bit. But part of me was wondering, is it just because I'm not putting my hands all over it because there's something on top of it? But I don't know. Thank you, CoSRX, for that.
Definitely helps, I think. And maybe I also think that for certain acne, it helps make the whitehead appear quicker.
Yep. That is the word. Right. Those are spectacular.
So yeah, I love these and you can get those on Amazon, I'm sure. Oh my gosh, I have so much stuff. I feel like it's never ending. Okay. Two recent discoveries for my hair. As you know, I'm high maintenance about my hair.
You've got great hair.
Oh my God. Thank you. But I have been getting dandruff. It's like one of the wonderful new joys of getting older.
Don't you love those little surprises that come as you age?
Like, cool, I have dandruff now. I was using my husband's like Head and Shoulders because, you know, that's like what we grew up with.
Yeah, those commercials.
Head and Shoulders really, it works though, right? I'm like, oh, it actually works. But my hair is dyed. I have a lot of like, I have this like balayage bleached hair. So, when I went to the salon, my stylist, Katie, was like, what are you using in your hair? I'm like, okay, don't get mad at me.
Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, I'm using Head and Shoulders because I have freaking dandruff. And she was like, oh my God, stop using that. And I have a product for you. And it's expensive as hell, of course. All the salon things are expensive. But it's the best. She's like, this is the best anti-dandruff shampoo that's not full of all the chemicals that Head and Shoulders is. And it's the Davines or Davines. I never knew the pronunciation. Oh,
so many people. I don't know how to say it either.
I know.
Davines? Davine? I don't know.
So my Everybody stylist loves it. Is Davines. Davines? Yeah, they love this.
Just that brand.
Yeah. I mean, I started using their shampoo a long time ago because my salon uses it. But, you know, I didn't know they had an anti-dandruff. So it's called Natural Tech Purifying Anti-Dandruff Shampoo. Shampoo for scalp with oily or dry dandruff. And it kind of smells not so great. My husband calls me egghead when I wear it. He says it smells like eggs, but it's worth it, dude. It's really good. And it's not stripping all my, you know, hair of its natural whatever that's supposed to be healthy. So I love that stuff. And the other thing, I think you guys might have talked about
it. I have this stuff and I love it.
I have never had success with dry shampoo. I've always like wanted to because I hate washing my hair. And then I now use this chlorine, the dry shampoo with oat milk. It's the powder.
So when I ordered this for the first time, I thought it was going to be like the dry shampoos I had tried of like a spray. Mm-hmm. And then I got this and you're essentially just gently squirting powder onto your head.
I know.
And it's amazing.
Yeah,
it really
like
works.
Baby powder. And it just soaks it up. And you know what my trick is? And my friend Veronica told me about it. Putting it on before you go to bed.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah. And then you wake up and you have like all this volume because of sleeping. And then it's all soaked in already.
That's really, really smart. Oh, what a good trick.
It's such a good trick. And what I do is I brush my hair. You know, I love brushing my hair now. And then I put the thing in and then I go to bed. And you have like, it's like you got your hair done.
Now, can I ask you a question about this for you? Because the only challenge I find with this, and I might try your trick because I'll do it like before I go out, and it's a light colored powder and I have dark hair.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so it kind of just, I think it looks a little, I can't quite shake it.
Does it get kind of like gray or matte?
Yes. But maybe if I sleep in it, that'll mush it all around.
I think that helps. But I also put it on right before I go out sometimes too. I just, maybe my bathroom lighting isn't good. What if I just look powdery all the time? Oh my God. I'm just having like a flashback to like every time I've used this. I'm like, oh my God.
But no. I also might be being, you know how you just like glom on to yes. like little things that probably no one else can notice in their with their eye. Like, I think it might be that.
Well, I also, oh, here's a trick. If I have a middle part, then I do it on the side part.
Oh, smart.
And if I have a side part, I do it in the middle part.
That's smart.
Do you know what I mean? And then you, yeah. and then I'm very rigorous about like, you know, getting it in there. And I check like a couple times before I leave, like, okay, it's all gone.
Oh yeah. You're not walking out with a powdery hand. Yeah. No, you're good.
I feel like maybe though, like my scalp might have, the scalp that's showing might look powdery, but I don't know,
you know,
whatever. If you're looking that closely at my scalp line, I'm sorry for your life.
Yeah. That's too much.
Yeah.
That's too, no boundaries.
So those are my two hair things. And then I think you guys talked about this. I also use the emergency vitamin C serum.
That is my my personal fave.
And I was using a bunch of other ones before because I have a lot of dark spots from the sun. And this honestly works.
Yeah.
This is another Courtney just on a recommendation.
Yeah, that stuff, that is like more than I ever thought I would spend on a product.
I know, so pricey, but you're like,
but dude, that shit works. Yeah, I don't. Ugh.
I realized that just last week because I usually always put concealer. Like if I really care, I put concealer on the dark spots. But today I was like, oh my God, I do not need to put concealer on, or I don't mind it as much. Like it's now not as noticeable.
Wow.
So I do think it's been helping. And Courtney's whole thing is put it on during the daytime.
Yes.
As part of your morning routine. Because that, I don't know, science again, the sun helps it.
I don't know, but that's what I do too. I put it on every morning. What is this kind of magical stick?
Okay, you're very curious.
I'm very curious about that. And then also you have this thing with like a moon and a bridge on it.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Okay, this is Benefit's Girl Meets Pearl. And it's just like, I don't know what they call it. Liquid Pearl for face. It's just a highlighter, essentially.
Is it a stick?
Here, let me show you. Kind of interesting.
All your products also very pretty, like aesthetically pleasing.
I am shallow and
oh, look at like, that.
Yeah, so
oh, fascinating.
I'm drawn to
there's like a little things. Screen. I don't know how to describe
it's like
this.
It's like a mesh. How do you describe it? Like little holes, and then you turn the thing on the bottom and it brings the product, the highlighter.
Oh, that is so cool.
Stuff. Uh-huh. Up.
I see it. And then you just put it right on.
I honestly don't know if this application tool is like necessary for this to work, but whatever. And my friend Morgan Mattson, also Y author, introduced me to this because like she always has such like, it's just got this like nice highlighty glow. I mean, she has amazing skin, but this stuff is just like a highlighter that with like a little pink tint.
Pretty.
So I only use it like for special occasions when I want to feel a little like
girl kind of, meets like, pearl.
Girly.
So cute.
Okay. So the tool that you're
oh, yes, this
very
tool.
Excited about is precisely my brow pencil by Benefit.
I feel like you might have had this last time.
I think I did.
Because it looks almost like a silver arrow.
Yeah.
It looked like you could, it's like a weapon.
Because it's like a pencil. It's a very fine pencil. And
oh,
it,
wow.
Sorry, this one like broke off. So I actually am not using it right now. But on the other side is like the little brush tool. I brought all my eyebrow stuff because I feel like I finally figured out my eyebrow game.
Oh, interesting. How did you get to that? Your eyebrows look great.
Thank you.
It's been a long journey.
It's been a journey. So I've
brow
used,
journey.
But it's like a, it's not easy and it's time consuming, but I'm like, this is the best combo for me. So I used a Benefit. It's all like rubbed off now, but the Gimme Brow.
Oh, yes. That's a famous one.
I've used Boy Brow. I've used other brow things, but this is the best. I don't know if it's like the consistency of the actual makeup or the little tapered brush or whatever it is, the color. It's my favorite one. So I put that on first and I'm like, again, I used to be really like, just kind of like, I just use so little. And I would not really see a difference, but now I'm like, oh, if I'm more generous and I use a ton more, it makes all the difference. So my eyebrows are like blobs. So I do that for texture. So for the blob part, I have to actually draw them in. So I use the Anastasia Duo Brow Shadow thing. What's it called? It's Brow Powder Duo. And I think this is like people use this a lot. But I went to get my makeup professionally done at Nordstrom by one of their beauty specialists because I was going to be on TV for like a promo thing. And I was like, shoot, it was so early in the morning that I'd have to do my own makeup. And I just don't know how to wear a lot of makeup. And so she showed me all the products and she showed me how to do it. And she recommended this brow thing because she's like, you should actually use a way lighter color for like filling in all the, you know.
Yes. I just learned this like last year. I've been buying like dark, dark brown and black for my eyebrows.
I know. And I guess you're not supposed to. You're supposed to go lighter for your brows. And also that means for me with the lighter one, I can like go to town.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not going to look all crazy right away. So I use that. And then if I need to fill in hairs and extend my brow, then I use the pencil.
Okay.
You could actually like fake little hairs with it, but I'm not that.
It's a three precise. Step, but this is a three product process.
Because I realized like, oh, my eyebrows really, I used to have bangs for so long. I didn't really pay attention to them, but I feel like the brows really can make or break my face. Make or break my face. Okay. The other thing is this lash boost. I have been obsessed with trying to make my eyelashes long.
Okay.
I think I talked about it last time I was with you and I had those magnetic lashes, but they didn't work out for me.
That's right.
I couldn't figure it out. So right now I have eyelash extensions because ooh. I have all these events coming out to promote my book. And especially when I travel, I don't put on any eye makeup if I have these on. Once I'm done with my like promo season, I don't want to wear them anymore. I want to try your tube mascara.
Oh, I love that freaking tube mascara. Oh, although I will say, so I grabbed these two mascaras I've also been kind of rotating in.
What is that purple one?
It's so Tarte. Pretty. I believe I got this. It's Tarte Lights Camera Lashes.
Oh my gosh.
And I think I actually got this in a FabFitFun box, which is a sponsor. And I had wanted to try this because I think other people on the podcast have mentioned it, and it's great. And it's vegan.
It matches your nails. Exactly.
It does match my current purple fingernails. And then this Caution mascara by Hourglass, which I have to say they sent it to us, is amazing. So, and I like the tubing mascara, but I have noticed like nothing for convenience of washing. The tubing mascara is amazing. And I specifically like this L'Oreal tubing mascara. But nothing kind of compares that I found to like the true clumpy.
Well, you have really nice eyelashes.
I do like have naturally long
my
lashes.
Fake eyelashes are like to look like yours.
Yes. I don't. That's just some sort of genetic magic that has been passed down, I think, from my dad. Yeah. Mm. So thank you to Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
But yeah, like I don't have any, so I want to try the tube stuff. It sounds interesting.
It's nice in terms of removing it at the end of the day. Mm. There's none of that, what do they call it? Raccoon eye, I think is the term of just like, you know, when you take off your mascara and then it's like bleeding down your face.
Mm.
There's none of that. It comes off in weird little rubbery pieces.
It's so strange.
It's a very strange. I didn't quite understand it until I did it.
I was also using... before my eyelash extensions and I was trying to figure out what else I wanted, I was using this like fiber mascara. Have you heard of those?
No.
It's a two-step, like you put on like a clear mascara coat or regular mascara coat. And then the other end is, or the other tube is it looks like tiny little fibers. It's like furry. And then you put it on and it like thickens and double, you know, and sometimes it extends because it'll stick to the end. It's a very messy process, so I understand why people don't like it, but I figured out how to do it so it's not so messy.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, and then you put another coat of the mascara on top, and then I just wait a little bit and I like blink on a tissue paper so that all the fibers, because sometimes the fibers are like all over your face and you're like, oh crap. But I also learned to do it first so that I could wash them off my face if, you know,
That's smart.
I don't have makeup on my face. That stuff was great too, but then I was like back on the eyelash extension train.
It's a great train.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how it looks on you. It looks amazing.
Thanks. I just realized I love what it does. It makes my face feel like, oh, like kind of awake and my eyes more open because I feel like part of my getting older, like not being unhappy with certain parts of my face is I feel like, oh, my eyes look so tired all the time.
I also hear like whenever people talk about having the eyelash extensions, they're like, I don't need anything else. The eyelashes do everything for my whole face.
Yes. You know, like you feel like you don't have to wear that much makeup. And I was wearing a cat eye, you know, liquid liner every day, which, you know, I like that look, but it kind of felt like a lot. And with the eyelashes, you're like, oh, it's like a little more subtle. And also it seems kind of embarrassing to say it, but you just feel prettier.
I don't think that's,
you know, when you're, I like, know what I you just mean. Feel it's like just... like a boost of prettiness when you have eyelashes.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about it. Okay. So my final two things, and this is solely because Kate, you and I have the same problem with lipstick.
Oh God.
And that we're both like not very great at it / we don't like it, or we can't figure it out. Right.
And I always have bought what you've recommended. So just,
because the Dior Glow is amazing.
Which I like. Yeah.
My God. My recent one, it was brand new. I accidentally put it in the laundry.
No. Oh no.
I'm being so stubborn and still using it, but it's like totally a mess.
Did it kind of melt and melted. There's like clumps of tissue in it?
And then like when you put it on, it like is chunky, but I'm like spreading it with my finger like it's fine.
Oh my gosh, I know that feeling where you just are like, this product's totally destroyed.
Yeah,
like when a chunk of lipstick falls off and I just like smush it back on and try to make it work. Oh boy,
you know, it's not cheap, so I was like, I want to keep it. Okay, so when I got that professional makeover, I told the lady, here's my beef with lipstick. I suck at it. My lips get dried out so quickly.
Yeah, me too.
I think I mess around with my mouth too much. It like rubs off. And I also just feel like the preciseness required for really like a bold lip is just, I can never achieve it. Like it always looks so messy. And she was like, oh my God, I have the product for you. And this is like the priciest lipstick thing I've ever bought. Sisley Paris.
Ooh.
And it's called the Phyto Lip Twist. And it's like a stick.
Ooh.
It's highly pigmented, right? It's not like sheer. And it's essentially, it's supposed to be like a lip repair balm, but with like the color of like a lipstick. And there's so much room. It's like very forgiving, you know, even though it's like a actual color, like a lipstick. Like, I don't feel like I'm messing it up. Like, you can put it on really easily, like in the car, all fast. And it lasts, and it's so moisturizing. So, Kate, I think you should try this. You can try mine. It's, like, almost brand new.
Oh, my gosh.
And she had told me, like, you're going to come back and want to buy all the other colors. And it's true.
I'm just going to put this gently on my hand here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's really pretty. And
it's,
like,
light. I thought it was going to be like very thick and dry. It's so soft. It's like putting moisturizer on.
It is. And so I layer it on. I put like 2-3 layers and
I love it.
And it stays.
Okay. So you said this is the most expensive lip thing you've bought. Do you know the price of it?
I think it's $50.
$50.
For me, that's expensive.
That's expensive for me too.
Yeah. Makeup is actually kind of a new thing for me. So yeah.
$50 is shoes. Like I also do this thing where I start doing the equating of how much other things cost. I might have to try that
on
a
mirror. It's roughly 35 tacos.
I mean, not as delicious, but it makes your mouth look amazing. Yeah. That color is gorgeous. And finding a lip color that hydrates or doesn't just feel like I've just put like sand all over my mouth.
And I don't really love like a super matte look either.
No,
so
I don't either.
This is if people are into matte, this is not matte, but it's not glossy. It's not like crazy glossy either. It's just like this. Honestly, like for me, perfect.
It's Sisley. Can you say the name of it again?
Okay. Sisley Phyto Lip Twist. And I got number 15.
Okay.
I think the color is also called Nut, which is cute.
That is cute.
It's kind of like a pinky dark nude. Okay. And then the final thing is Sephora over the summer was having, they had this like collection of cheapo lipsticks. I think this is like $5.
What?
And they're in this cardboard container. It looks like almost a tampon, right?
I'm not opposed to a tampon lipstick.
So I think the cardboard container is what helped keep the price point down. Okay. And yeah, so that is a very moisturizing lipstick. And
it's,
I really
so
liked
pretty.
It.
The color is so pretty.
It's a pretty color, but I bought like two of them, an orangey red, which I don't usually wear. But my friend convinced me, like, if you don't like red lipsticks, try an orangey red. And I love them.
This.
And it's a creamy and it's not too matte.
Do you know, I know you're not a Sephora sales representative. Do you know if they still sell these?
No, I don't. I know it was like a summer special. Maybe they have it on their website.
We'll have to look. I wonder what color this is. I'm so blind. I can't read.
Oh, hashtag lip stories is what it says on here.
Okay.
I'm not sure. So maybe it's called a lip story. So that specific color is spring break.
Oh, that's so cute. It's also pretty. It's all, there's like an aesthetically satisfying non-lipsticky vibe to it.
Yeah, it has a little beach scene on the cardboard. So anyways, those are two lipsticks for people who don't like lipsticks.
That's me. Well, Maureen, this has been an educational experience.
I got a lot of stuff.
It's great. I love it. I think it's time for us to wrap up.
Yay. I mean, I'm not yaying the wrapping up. I'm sad to wrap up.
You're
but
yaying
I'm
that you
yaying
did
that it.
It
was a success and we did it.
Yeah. Now, normally when it's Dory and I, we set an intention for the week.
Ooh.
Do you have an intention that you're focused on as you embark on this week of your life, especially yes. as you're beginning this new phase of bringing a book out into the world?
My big intention is to combat the anxiety that I am feeling right now, as we discussed, because of my book coming out, or because that's what happens with anxiety. Sometimes you just have it when everything's going fine. So I think what's been bad for me is my phone. I know you talk about this a lot.
Yes.
Because I have the excuse of like, I got to be on top of social media to like promote, like literally my life is 75% social media right now, but I need to turn that off. So I am trying to be away from my phone and like physically, and that's been helping. And then also definitely at nighttime, like putting it away. So I've been, it's still in my room, but it's like on my dresser far away from my bed. So that's my big intention.
That's a tough one. That's one
really
I struggle with
hard.
Every day.
I'm like, can just read a book before bed. And it's so much, it makes me so much less anxious and helps me sleep better. So
mine is also anxiety related.
What
I mean,
is yours?
big shocker. I'm just trying to not judge my anxiety. It's still going on. I figure it'll probably keep going through the week and it'll taper off. So while it's happening, I just want to like be aware of it, notice it, but not then inflict like the cycle of judgment on myself for having it.
Right.
So I'm going to see how that goes.
Like a general intention.
Yeah. I mean, cause anxiety is a life. It's, I don't want to call it a chronic illness, but it's something I know I'm going to have forever. So learning to coexist with it in a way where I'm without judgment, I think is a good next step for me.
Yeah, I agree. Anxiety is not fun.
It's not fun, but it's part
it's
part like of who we are.
Someone that's always here.
Yeah, it is. It's mm-hmm. a little, it's like a friend or an enemy. Yeah. Mostly it's just an enemy.
We're supposed to think of it as a neutral person.
Yes.
It's just like a presence that's here and we just acknowledge.
Like a person who you just pass walking on the street with their dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not anybody good or bad. Well, Maureen, before we say goodbye, can you let our listeners know all the best places on social media and the internet to find you, even if you aren't responding immediately because you're taking a break from your phone?
Well, sadly, I will respond to you
immediately.
That's part of my promo is like I try to be very present in my social media leading up to my book release. But yes, I will. As you know, I'm living there right now. So you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at Maureen Gu and my website, MaureenGu.com. And pretty much all the info is there.
And your new book is Somewhere Only We Know, which you can get at any bookseller.
Yep.
Possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to now read our end of the Forever 35 things.
Okay. Oh, so honored to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. Thrilled to have you back regardless, but thank you for taking on the extra duty of being my partner through this, because that's a challenge.
I hope I did Dory justice.
You did. I'm sure she would be very pleased. Friends, if you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, our number is 781-591-0390. You can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. As you know, we have our Facebook group. It is Forever 35 Podcast, and we have so many spinoffs, and the password is serums if you would like to join people there. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, tell a friend, or mention us on social media. And a friendly reminder that all the products Maureen just mentioned and all guests have mentioned are always on our website at forever35podcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod. And of course, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Lane Hammer is our fearless assistant. Thank you all. Have a great week.